Believer Xavier Worthy tweeted two crying emojis followed by quote, "No!" unquote. The Dallas Cowboys restructured the contracts of quarterback Dak Prescott, receiver CeeDee Lamb, and left guard Tyler Smith in order to get under the salary cap. The Los Angeles Chargers are planning to release offensive lineman Mekhi Becton. Matchup for the Pro Football Hall of Fame game is set. The Arizona Cardinals and Carolina Panthers will meet in Canton on August 6th. College football, Clemson hiring former longtime NFL special teams coach Rich Bisaccia as its new special teams coordinator.
Fox Sports update on KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, Wine Down Wednesday, and specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, despite a strong start to California's wet season, the snowpack remains below average, which could mean less water available for summer irrigation. San Joaquin Valley farmer Aaron Barcelos says the uncertainty has forced him to consider not planting cotton for the first time in nearly four decades. Jay Lund from the University of California, Davis says there's still a chance more storms will boost snowpack to average before April, when they typically peak. Well, Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins is asking farmers and ranchers to help improve how federal crop and livestock data are collected, saying accurate reports are essential to fair and orderly markets. USDA reports on acreage, yields, and inventories can significantly influence commodity prices, crop insurance guarantees, and marketing decisions. Officials say declining survey participation, shifting planting patterns, and increasingly volatile weather have made data collection more challenging. A new 10% U.S. tariff on goods from around the world took effect last Tuesday. Meeting Place says a list of tariff exemptions includes beef, some fertilizers, and metals like steel and aluminum under Section 232's national security tariffs. The 10% tariff was announced after the Supreme Court struck down President Trump's widespread use of tariffs. Meeting Place says Section 122 only allows tariffs for 150 days without congressional action.
When you buy from VSeth Cattle Company, you're buying cattle built for this region. Join them Monday, March 9th at the Glasgow Stockyards. They're selling primarily yearling and a handful of 18-month Red Angus bulls, plus over 150 females, including red, baldy, and even black replacement heifers and short-term cows. These cattle raise strong calves, rebreed on time, and maintain condition with minimal inputs. It's Monday, March 9th. Get the VSeth Cattle Co. catalog at ballyhooprinting.com.
Spring alternaria pressure can be a real issue for almond growers, but Alyssa's fungicide can help control it. How do I know that? Because I'm an almond grower, and that hammering sound isn't from a shop. That's the sound of Alyssa's fungicide hitting back against diseases. Hey, can you keep it down for a minute? With two powerful active ingredients, Alyssa's fungicide lays a strong foundation against alternaria, rust, and scab, delivering dependable, long-lasting residual control. Okay, you're good now. Always read and follow label directions.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages are trying to hold on to gains in afternoon trading as easing oil prices lift market sentiment. Shares of oil companies like ExxonMobil, Chevron, and Occidental Petroleum, among others, are down modestly. Airlines and cruise operators are mixed as oil holds above $74. Tech is the best performer among the S&P 500 sectors. The Magnificent Seven big cap tech stocks are mostly higher, led by Amazon and Tesla. And shares of Broadcom are up 2%. The chipmaker are slated to report earnings after the closing bell. Investors anticipate the event could lead to a big swing in its stock. Shares of Danish shipping giant Maersk are down 2% after the company said it's suspending cargo bookings in and out of ports in the Middle East due to the regional conflict and personal safety. However, the company is making exceptions for critical food and medicine. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
I'm alpine skier Michaela Schifrin. I've won the most World Cup ski races in history. But what does success mean to me? Success means discipline. It's teamwork. It's the drive and passion inside of us, and it's why Stifel is one of the fastest growing global wealth management firms in the country. If you're looking for success, surround yourself with the people who will get you there. If you're an advisor or investor, choose Stifel, where success meets success.
Stifel Nicolaus & Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Past performance is no indication of future results. Investing involves risk. Consult a financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends, next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
A bill going through Congress may put an end to some of the silly projects your money's being wasted on. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by Mills Construction. For architectural, metal, roofing, and siding, call Aaron at 610-1256.
The federal government recently spent $500,000 to find out that when people are angry, stop smoking, or hear loud noises, they clench their jaws. Yes, it was one of those studies approved by the National Science Foundation. The researcher, Roland Hutchison of Kalamazoo State Hospital in Michigan, spent 7 years working his way through the study of wasps, boa constrictors, rats, and monkeys before he got to human beings. Among his findings was that monkeys, quote, became angry when they were shocked and would try to get away from the shock, unquote. He also learned at taxpayer expense that drunk monkeys do not usually react as quickly or as often as sober monkeys, and that hungry monkeys get angry more quickly than well-fed monkeys. When he got to people, Mr. Hutchison discovered, quote, that people get angry when they feel cheated and tend to clench their jaws or even scream and kick, unquote. I couldn't be happier to hear that. For a while there, I was beginning to think I might be a monkey. Are you sick of hearing stories of your money being spent on projects of this stripe? Well, so was Congressman Robert Bauman, a young second-termer from Maryland. When the National Science Foundation's annual budget was up for approval recently, Bob Bauman proposed an amendment requiring the foundation to provide the Congress with a 30-day notice of proposed grants, during which period either the Senate or the House would have the chance to pass a resolution vetoing any grant. Any grants not disapproved by either chamber would become effective after the 30 days. In support of his amendment, Congressman Bauman cited complaints his office had received concerning such grants as, quote, $6,000 to study Polish bisexual frogs, $70,000 to study the smell of perspiration given off by Australian Aborigines, and $2.6 million to study the sex life of crabs, unquote. Miracles will happen even in the 94th Congress. Bob Bauman's amendment passed the House by 212 to 199. The National Science Foundation was somewhat stunned by this development. It wasn't so much that they thought many of their grants would be vetoed should the amendment become law. It's just that the mere threat of a veto would have prevented many of the more absurd projects from ever being approved in the first place. So they beat a path to their friends on the Senate side, hoping to stop the Bauman amendment there. Fortunately for them, the chairman of the relevant subcommittee is a friend of theirs, Senator Edward Kennedy. He called the Bauman Amendment an attempt, quote, by members of Congress to act as censors, unquote. Then the senator attempted to prevent Congressman Bauman from appearing before the subcommittee, which of course wasn't censorship. Other committee members intervened in Bauman's behalf. Still, the amendment faces rough going in the Senate. If you're tired of seeing your tax dollar used to invade the privacy of bisexual frogs and amorous crabs, you might write your senators urging passage of the Bauman Amendment to the National Science Foundation appropriation. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan, in his own voice, brought to you by Mills Construction, specializing in pre-engineered metal buildings. Call Aaron at 610-1256.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. Today, I have Assistant Superintendent of Business Services with the Paso Robles Joint Unified School District, Brad Pawlowski. That is a mouthful.
Yes, it is a long title. Thanks, Karen. Thanks for having me here.
Thank you very much for coming on. I think this is a big issue. We're gonna start by talking primarily about the bond issue and what is going on with the bond issues. We'll get into other issues at the school. We'll talk about the teachers seeking raises right now and some of the other issues that are going on in the school. But again, we're going to start with the bond measure. Now, can you explain the bond measure and what you are seeking to the community?
Yeah, I would be happy to do that. But I'm a back up just a little bit in that we've had initial conversations about putting a bond on the ballot, but that's something the board has not approved as of yet. So it's not going to the ballot as of yet, but we're doing some investigative work to potentially get it there. Right now, we're in the process of doing a facility master plan. So that master plan is identifying all of the needs, assessing all of the condition of all of the facilities around the district. And then we'll put together a facility needs plan based on that. It'll align to our educational plan as well, CTE pathways and other elements that we're putting into place as time goes on. And then from that, we would identify a specific dollar amount that we may need to make all of those improvements. And then that would be brought forward to the board for a final recommendation for them to pass a resolution that could end up on the November 26 ballot.
And do you have a rough estimate about how much you'll want in a bond?
Yeah, at a previous board meeting, we talked to the board, and we're looking at in the neighborhood of about $173 million. That would allow us to do all of the improvements that are needed at the high school, our alternative ed campus, Liberty Independence, and then also improvements at War Memorial, since that's a high school facility as well. So that dollar amount would allow us to do the improvements at those facilities.
And so bond measures, then the property owners pay for it over time in their property taxes. If you get the 173, what would it be approximately per person?
Yeah, we shared
per residence.
Yeah, per residence. So we shared some of that information with the board on what that would look like. So we gave them just a couple of different examples, but I'll share the example. One of them we shared. If a bond was passed at $188 million and it was for 15 years, a resident would pay $60 per $100,000 of assessed value of their home.
Per year.
Per year, correct.
And as what are the needs, and are these vital needs at this point, do you see?
Yeah, so if you look at the high school specifically, the original construction date on or the plan approval date was in 1978. So the high school probably took about 2 years to build, and all of the records indicate that it opened in 1980. So right now we're approaching a 46-year-old campus. It has had some modernization work done on the campus with various elements, but one of the key pieces that we know that needs to be addressed on the campus is really ensuring that we've got space to address what we call career technical education classes. So we've got spaces that, as we see adjustments in our community, in the need for jobs, we need to have spaces that allow us to create a pathway that will allow a student to graduate either career ready or having a career while they're going to college. Some of those areas are in aerospace right now, laser welding, advanced manufacturing, cybersecurity. Those are the types of CTE pathways that we're looking at for the future to ensure that students are ready. So having the facilities to accommodate those types of spaces is important. Another one that also has come up through conversations with students, staff, and the community is our high school campus does not have a indoor cafeteria. All students eat outside. So whether the temperature is freezing or whether it's 100, our students are having to eat outside. We do have a kitchen, and so the kitchen provides the meals and prepares those, but we don't have an indoor space for students to eat. Another piece is part of that original construction was a gymnasium back in the 1970s or early 80s, I should say. And that gymnasium, it's not air conditioned at this point. It doesn't allow all of our students to meet in one space. And so having a space that would allow for all students to be in one area would be a really ideal. We would also be able to modernize locker rooms or create new locker rooms that would allow for private changing areas, really modernize the needs of the students now. So those are some, one other thing, I keep going on, but one other thing is we've seen an increase in students with disabilities. So that student population continues to rise, and the needs for those students continually become greater. There's greater needs for us to have restrooms that are closer, even shower facilities for some of those students. So those would be the types of improvements that this type of bond would support.
And where on the campus would you put a large indoor lunchroom and meeting area?
So again, with the campus being, you know, fairly small, I would say, and landlocked, it would be really strategic in how we would do this. One potential area is to build a new gymnasium, new event center is what we would call it. And there's a space in between the new pool complex and the practice gym that it could be built. And then the old gymnasium could be removed and a new cafeteria installed there on campus. And that would put that facility right in the center of campus, make it a good kind of center area that students can congregate, we can get food. It's accessible to the roads for food deliveries. So that it would take some strategy and some planning to do it, but we believe that it's possible.
And I'm not familiar with the campus. Where do students go when they eat if it's raining?
We have a couple of shaded areas, some that students are able to go to. There are a lot of overhangs on the campus that just covered walkways, and then at times we have our staff members that open up their classrooms and will allow students to be in there as well.
So this is something that you really find a need for right now for the high school.
Yeah, we absolutely do. And along with that work, while I've highlighted some of the bigger projects that would be accomplished with that, what it would also do is modernize the remainder of the campus to ensure that we've got what I would say new finishes, so carpet, lighting, cabinetry. Those things have changed from the 80s. Also, our technology needs, our electrical needs. When a classroom was put together in the 1980s, probably didn't have as many electronic pieces of equipment in them. So this would also modernize all of the rooms on the campus to ensure that we're able to keep up with the technology needs and the electrical needs.
And we have a caller. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask Brad today?
I just wanted to ask it. I don't know, Brad, did you know that there used to be a cafeteria there at the high school? And
yes, I was aware of that.
Before the shack was built.
Yeah.
Just to try to be helpful. When I went to school there, I know it was 30 years ago, but nobody ate inside that cafeteria.
Yeah, I wasn't here at that time, so I don't have any historical context, but what I can say is that the Performing Arts Center was built in place of the existing cafeteria, and so that's why we don't have one currently, a decision made many years ago, and we've got a great performing arts theater, so that's a great space.
Yeah. My point was to give you a little historical context.
When you were in
the cafeteria, nobody ate in there. Students always ate outside. I mean, maybe the students now want to, but it's just something I thought would be helpful to know.
I appreciate that. And I will say that, you know, over time there has been a shift. You know, right now at this time we have meals that the participation in our meal program is extremely high. I don't have the exact percentage off the top of my head, but there's many students that are participating in the school lunch program, the breakfast program. And so having a space for them to be able to sit down and have just a breakfast or a lunch, we know is valuable and important to a student's progress.
Well, I know people use the cafeteria then to get their lunch the same as they do now. They just didn't eat inside there. So just before you spend a lot of money, just thought I'd add that in there.
Thank you.
Thank you very
much
for calling in.
I'm sure you guys will look at that. All right, bye.
And one thing that I do notice is I'm hearing a lot that there was a push for all students to go to college and getting away from the technical education that used to be available. But with AI, they say that that's going to be much more important going forward. Is that part of the reason that you're also looking at bringing in the technical aspects?
Yeah, and again, I'm not on the ed services side, but in what we have seen is just over the years, there was the pendulum shifted to the extreme one way and really focused on students were going to go to college. And that was kind of the push. And there were fewer and fewer, I guess you could say maybe vocational or trade courses that were offered. And now the pendulum is coming back to the middle, which is where it really should be. And in the middle, what we're trying to do through these career technical education courses is ensure that we're providing either a pathway for a student to have a job that they can walk right out of 12th grade and go into a job. It could be a pathway that allows them to continue to work while they're going to either community college or to a four-year college. So there has been a shift in just education across, across the United States, and we're trying to keep up with that and making sure that we have the facilities to be able to do that.
And will that be another area where you put in new facilities also? Will you make a building for that? Will you also?
Thanks for the clarity. So with the construction of some of these newer buildings, we would be able to add classrooms. So I'll give you an example. The new cafeteria, the conceptual designs that we have for it would have six additional CTE classrooms built onto the back of it, including one for our culinary arts program.
Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask Brad today?
Hey, good afternoon. You know, the dollar amount we're talking here for this bond measure is pretty significant. And at some point, when we keep adding on to old schools and old infrastructure, especially in a landlocked facility, at what point does it make more sense to go find some property someplace else and not have it such an impacted corridor like Niblick, and thinking outside the box where you put it, and maybe selling that property or doing something, but adding on to these schools has just become cost prohibitive. And the long term is, you know, you've got a 50-year-old campus. What else is next? And the patient is not well.
Well, with the amount of growth that we see in Paso Robles when it comes to student enrollment, and that's a conversation that we've maybe for another day, but we have declining enrollment, and we have fewer and fewer students coming to the district. The campus is adequately sized for our student body and what we project out into the future. Really what we're talking about is focusing on, I would say, more specialty buildings, specialty spaces that would allow us to continue to improve just what we offer there on that campus. Another challenge that we faced as a district is transportation. So if we were to have, let's say, even a split campus where some of the programs were being offered in another location, we're not able to transport students to different campuses for those types of programs. So while it is landlocked, there is about four and a half to 5 acres that's unfilled on the campus right now. And it, based on student need, student population, it's adequate in size.
Thank you very much for calling.
Thank you.
Yeah, and that is one of the things, one of the concerns that some people have talked about with the bond measure is while you've lost 600 students since 2020, you've gained 200 employees. And is that accurate? And are you also looking at cutting costs in order to make this work?
Yes. So our operational costs, so if we go back to 2020, that was right around the time of COVID, and right after that, the all school districts around the state started receiving learning loss recovery funds, and just to kind of blanket the term for those funds. And so the intention of those funds were to bring on supports for staff, for students, be it a one-time expense or be it ongoing expenses, as in staff members, to provide some learning loss recovery, whatever those services were. And so we did hire staff through that process to bring on to support students, to try and provide interventions, additional supports. And during that time, we have had a reduction in students. And so we have had to look very carefully at our staffing versus our enrollment. And over the last 2 years, we have taken steps to reduce our staffing. Last year, we did what's called an early retirement incentive. We had approximately, I believe it was about 52 people that took part in that and left the district, and we didn't refill all of those positions. Again, we're having some more difficult conversations again this year, looking at making some reductions and really right-sizing and ensuring the staff that we have is commensurate with the number of students that we have. The other piece that we've done, another very difficult decision, was the closure of an elementary campus. Again, as we've seen fewer and fewer students, we're being more strategic in how we're using our existing spaces. And so we made the board made some very difficult decisions a couple years ago, closed our 36th Street campus, and we reconfigured all of our elementaries from TK to 5 to TK to 6. And that really allowed us to maximize the use of those facilities and have just more economy of scale, so to speak. And so we've really, over the last few years, we have done those things, looking at operational costs. Last year, each department took a 10% reduction in their operational costs to be able to try and save some ongoing operational funds.
And so all the departments are cutting back.
Yes.
And they're looking at, do you think, I looked at one of your, some of the district documents, and for it's actually you're predicting, or the district is predicting, a slight increase in students in 2026. Can you tell me why that is?
I would have to go back and look at what document that is specifically that you saw, but there is potentially a little bubble right after the COVID time period, about 5 to 6 years after that, where there might be a little bubble of increased enrollment. But after that, when we're looking out into the future, and not just in California, not just the Central Coast, but across the United States, there's just fewer and fewer births. And so while there might be a little bubble there, again, have to look at that specific document, the projection down the line is continued declining.
We're going to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and we will be back with more with Brad Pawlowski.
Usually a reviewer, but I had an amazing experience at Davis Body Shop. From start to finish, the experience was ideal. Everyone was friendly, helpful, and professional. They kept me updated, did quality work, and had me in and out. No hassles, and returned my vehicle to me in perfect condition.
If you ever have an accident and need to repair your car, you could do what Ann did from Paso Robles. She took her car to Davis Body Shop. And Peggy from Atascadero said,
our family needed repairs to one of our cars, and friends had recommended Davis Body Shop. We were very pleased with their helpfulness, their attention to detail that was provided to us. They explained the process and kept us updated as repairs were made. They also assisted us in securing a rental car. I would definitely recommend them to anyone who needs repairs to a car.
Davis Body Shop is the area's largest auto body collision specialist on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
I recently had the best visit with Peter Lussier at Hearing Aid Specialists. He fixed my hearing aid, gave me an efficient hearing test, and adjusted my hearing aids using computer software. I've had my hearing aids for several years. I never felt they were working properly until Peter fixed the issues. The clarity and volume are wonderful now.
If you have hearing aids or need a hearing aid evaluation, call Hearing Aid Specialists of the Central Coast, 805-460-7385. 805-460-7385.
Elite Roadshow Buyers is returning to Paso Robles at the History Museum located downtown for 3 days only. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, March 9th, 10th, and 11th. And Tomorrow Bay at the Veterans Memorial Hall for 2 days only. Thursday and Friday, March 12th and 13th. Call 760-783-5483 to book your appointment. Phones are answered 7 days a week. Meet the team of buyers, including three seen on TV's Antiques Roadshow, all with decades of elite experience to offer you the best price for your heirlooms. They're buying a wide range of fine items like gold and silver jewelry, watches, coins, sterling silver, oil paintings, even antique firearms, historical items, advertising memorabilia, and more. Visit the website EliteRoadshowBuyers.com for more details. Don't miss this free event to receive purchase offers with immediate payment. Call 760-783-5483 today. That's 760-78-ELITE.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely, your host on Wednesday and Thursdays. And today I have from the Paso Robles Unified School District Assistant Superintendent Brad Pawlowski. We were starting by talking about the bond measure, and I was bringing up, I looked at a chart, and it predicts a slight bump in students in 2026. And during the break, you said that might be the transitional kindergarten we started.
Yeah, something that I thought of was we did increase the number of transitional kindergarten classes that we offered this year. So that could have been a small reason why we had an increase too. Again, have to look at the specific document. But again, the general decline overall continues to be downward.
And that's not... It's not your school district. It appears to be nationwide. Even The census came out with a report. I put up a story today on Calco's News talking about the census numbers for our county, for Santa Barbara County, for California, and for the United States. And in the United States, according to the census, and in between 24 and 25, the numbers in California are down. The population numbers in California are down. Now, the finance department in California, which gets government funding depending on population, is claiming a much higher number. But in the end, it's the census that makes the numbers. It's not the finance department in the state. And they are claiming that numbers are falling. But even in states where you have increased populations, they're still saying very often that the school numbers are going down. Some schools have districts have closed two or three schools, and it's because Americans are having fewer children than they did 40 years ago.
Yeah, I have some software that I use that tracks the number of births through the California Public Health Department, and so we're looking at that data, and as we look at historically the number of students that come to the district in the TK and the kinder year, and we get a ratio of all of those births and we project out. But as we project out, the number of births each of those, you know, future years are getting smaller and smaller. So it's not just specifically a Paso Robles problem or a Central Coast problem. It is everything that I'm talking to my peers about up and down the state. It is a California problem.
Yes, but it's, I think we're just gonna have fewer birth rates, and a lot of the districts throughout the nation. And again, looked at, are we going to, you know, what schools are we going to cut as the numbers go down? Because there's a larger cost to having an entire school.
Yeah, and Paso Robles, we've done some of that hard work already because we've seen fewer and fewer students. And again, maybe back to that first caller that talked about, or second caller, about the amount of money that we spend on our current infrastructure. We made a very difficult choice to close one of the schools instead of continue to invest in it and try and upgrade it and then operate it inefficiently with fewer students on it. So we've done some of those difficult decisions already, and appreciate the leadership of our board as we've gone through that difficult time. But that's the reality that we're facing.
And I did notice parents were massively passionate. Those school board meetings were ugly.
Yes, there was a lot of energy and a lot of passion at those meetings, for sure.
And people did not want the elementary school in the area closing, but you kind of got a nudge. You were, because of the issues with the seismic, but then also that, I listened to the meetings, roaches, you know, a serious roach problem, issues with collapsing beams and different things, or, you know, the poles. It sounded like that school was quite the mess at the time.
Well, unfortunately, historically, the district didn't have the greatest record of deferred maintenance. And so when you're not able to keep up with some of the maintenance efforts that are needed, then some things can compound and become more serious as time goes on. But we knew that we were planning on doing some major work at that site. And so as we went through the design process, we did find the geological anomaly. And so there were some things that we really had to address to try and correct just the lack of maintenance over many years in the past. And then when it comes to pests, I would say that it's a challenge at a lot of sites where we've got, you know, kitchens, we've got all types of opportunities for pests to be looking for something to eat. So it's an ongoing battle for us.
And that was an older school. Welcome to Sound Off. You have about a half a minute to ask a question.
Okay, my question is, don't you believe that the school is a little top-heavy, a lot of more administrators than we do have teachers? What we need is less administrators and a few more shop teachers.
And I'm going to let him answer that. Actually, I'm going to have you answer that when we come back after a break. A word from our sponsors. Thank you for calling in.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.